You are listening to Life Science Connect Radio, bringing you the latest news and showcasing both innovative products and services and the industry leaders making it happen. Life Science Connect Radio, bringing the life sciences to you. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
All right. Good afternoon and welcome back to Life Science Connect Radio. I'm your host, Todd Schnick. The countdown continues to New York City and Interphex 2014. We're just days away now. Continue to look forward to this great event. Leading up to Interphex, however, Life Science Connect Radio continues with our series of great conversations with some fascinating industry leaders. So let's get right to it. On today's show is Randy Small. He's the Vice President of Operations for the Americas for Go Industry Dove Bid Liquidity Services, Inc. Randy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Todd.
It's good to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. So, Randy, before we get into it, real quick, tell the audience a little bit about you and your background.
So, Todd, yes, as you've mentioned, you know, I've been with Go Industry Dove Bid Liquidity Services, Inc. now for over 15 years. Vice President of Operations for the Americas, which includes North America, you know, obviously Mexico. We do a lot of business in Puerto Rico, Brazil, and a lot of the Latin America, South America countries. We are a global company, but, you know, I head up the Americas for Go Industry Dove Bid Liquidity Services on the operations side. And my team is responsible for cataloging, getting assets set up for sale, posting those assets to our various websites so that we can maximize the return for many of our clients in this industry.
Yeah, so go deep on liquidity services and how your organization plays a role in pharmaceutical manufacturing.
Yeah, so real quick, you know, whether due to mergers, acquisitions, lab downsizing or upgrading or outsourcing, many biopharma companies are opting to sell R&D or any manufacturing equipment that no longer is needed in their own labs. But the assets that we want to make very clear are still working condition. That's a very important aspect. In this industry, right now on the pharmaceutical side, it's no longer considered taboo. There's a mainstream adoption of buying and selling used biopharma equipment, and it's created economical ways for organizations to make and save money via the offloading and purchasing of surplus assets that are out there in the secondary market. In fact, more and more companies are taking a proactive approach with respect to managing their surplus, causing a consistent year-over-year increase in the volume of inventory available in the secondary market. And through our reputation and range of services, Liquidity Services had the opportunity to provide surplus solutions for some of the most recognized pharmaceutical companies in the world.
Well, walk us through the exact process of how Liquidity Services acquires these assets. You know, we're not talking about manufacturing birdhouses here. This is pharmaceuticals. This is serious stuff. So I imagine you have a very meticulous process as to how you go about doing this.
Organizations can no longer afford to reactively deal with their surplus assets. The bottom line, combined with the importance placed on sustainability and brand protection, has many taken a proactive approach to managing their surplus and obsolete equipment. What that means is, you know, if managed correctly, the reverse supply chain in place or is a place where companies can create new revenue streams, protect their brand, and begin to build sustainability in their operations. Unless an organization has a dedicated team to handle all these aspects of the remarketing and the redeploying process for surplus assets, the reverse logistics can add additional stress to your staff to manage and to take time away from their core business, basically their everyday real jobs. Given the time and resources needed to successfully manage your reverse supply chain, it's advisable to work with a trusted partner like Liquidity Services who can handle all aspects of remarketing, redeployment. You know, getting a credible partner can increase your bottom line while ensuring a streamlined, hassle-free way of managing the process. And these are kind of what you're alluding to. This includes the important steps of compliant removal of the assets, a very big point when you're trying to sell and or get assets out of a facility. What you want your client to have is transparency and efficiency, a global reach and a vetted buyer base, very, very important in today's market and in the age we live in, the knowledge of the secondary market itself, and then a multi-tiered marketing plan, to optimize, maximize the return of those assets. Focus providers have invested in global marketplaces and professionally managed data-driven services to manage, value, and sell other type of surplus equipment and inventory.
So, gosh, this is like a win-win scenario here, because if you're a manufacturer that needs good equipment that you've given a stamp of approval on, that's a great benefit. But heck, if you're trying to sell or get rid of equipment, what a great way to have a reliable operation take care of that. And as you said, the administrative headache that you don't have to worry about doing the sale, you can bring on a partner that will really help you do this. I mean, that's got the benefits of both sides, yeah?
Yeah, it absolutely does, Todd. And that's a great point as well. When considering the purchase of used equipment or, you know, some of the things you should consider, you know, buying from a credible source, know the condition of the equipment. And those first two aspects, when you think about LSI Liquidity Services or going to SWDevBid Liquidity Services, many of the assets that we sell, LSI sells, are from Fortune 500 companies who calibrate continually to invest and upgrade their assets during the asset cycle life. Our buyers are savvy and they watch for this and they know this, that hey, if I'm buying from a legitimate Fortune 500 company, this asset really probably is maintained, calibrated, you know, to meet the certain specs. Assets, you know, assess your needs when you're looking to buy these assets. Does the device meet the needs of the specs you require? Very, very important. Be familiar with the different purchasing channels, competitive online options, private treaty sales, different forms of sales that are out there in the secondary market. Know what your expected savings should be. You should know this up front. Be aware of hidden fees, de-rigging, transport, reinstallation. A lot of times when we talk to people about de-rigging, you know, obviously moving the assets from the current location, some of the hidden fees of just creating, of having a mover or rigger make a crate. I mean, I've seen crates cost as much as $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $25,000 just for the crate to move that $100,000 asset. So just some suggestions right there.
Yeah, I have to imagine there are some not only best practices in terms of evaluating what equipment to purchase and to be sure that it's suitable for the work required. But I imagine there's some best practices that a manufacturer should follow when they're closing an R&D lab or a manufacturing facility. Yes?
Yeah, absolutely, Todd. And we, you know, that's where we specialize in. And that's where companies seem to be having some of the most trying times right now. It's, you know, it may be their first time in closing a facility anywhere in North America or globally. You know, we have a lot of expertise in doing that, but some of the things to consider, you know, obviously due to continued outsourcing, many organizations have and will be faced with the challenge of closing a lab or a plant site. No matter what the size or scope of the closure, the person tasked with closing the facility faces a daunting task. I mean, there's millions of dollars in real estate to be addressed, laboratory equipment and research devices that need to be redeployed, sold, or disposed of. In that comes many hazardous kind of haz waste issues, you know, those type of things. What that comes teams to manage logistics to sort out an inventory to be accounted for, all the while adhering to a budget, timeline, environmental and safety standards. As soon as the lab is closing, as soon as you get that confirmation, it's imperative that you take the first steps. And what we really recommend is that things that will serve as a basis for best practices for the project is putting together a team, you know, establishing, forming what we call a closing team or a decommissioning team. That team typically should, you know, if you're in a facility, should probably be somebody from the head of security, head of maintenance. You know, all of your different type of departments, getting that team put together into a conference room, what we like to call a war room, and getting your plan, your strategy, timeline put up on a wall and kind of working back from those dates. Development of a plan for redeployment or the sale of items based off the timeline. Establish a budget and timeline, very, very important. You know, obviously one of the most important things is to complete an inventory of the facility itself. Many times we get asked to go into facilities and the first thing they ask us is, you know, we know we got a lot of property. We know we've got this on this list, but we don't know what else is really out there. That's real world. By enlisting a secondary market expert like Liquidity Services, you can increase your bottom line while ensuring a streamlined, hassle-free way of managing the process from start to finish, turnkey. That's who we are, and that's the value we can bring to our clients. This includes taking inventory of the assets, conducting evaluation of the items, creating a multi-tiered marketing plan, and managing the preview of those assets from your site, the sale, and a compliant removal of the assets after they're sold.
All right. Well, let's close on this discussion. Talk about some of the common misconceptions to buying and selling used pharmaceutical equipment. What myths can you dispel here?
This is a great question. We kind of started this process with a major Fortune 500 biotech company, 12 years ago plus, right around that time frame. I think if you look, 15 years ago, it was unheard of for pharmaceutical companies to sell surplus equipment on the secondary marketplace. It just didn't happen. Even, 10, 11 years ago, you would never have seen a Fortune 500 biotech company selling a used device on the same platform as another Fortune 500 biotech. And forget about when buying the equipment from the other. That just didn't happen. But, you know, assets have gone past, you know, one of the misconceptions, I think, is that many buyers believe, or first-time buyers believe, that when you, if an asset's online for sale in the secondary market, that the asset must have gone past its probably its life cycle. There must be something wrong with the asset. You know, it's out of scope or out of spec. These are all misconceptions. And the reason is because when these Fortune 500 companies, again, most of our sellers are Fortune 500 companies in this vertical. They decommission, they hazardous decon the assets, they cosmoline the assets correctly, they warehouse them correctly for reuse again. You know, these assets just aren't, you know, put into a corner and you know, attaining dust, you know, out of their unnatural environment. Many times they are stored in their natural environment and they're stored correctly and, again, cosmoline correctly because these are really Fortune 500 companies. And the point is that because they do this, again, our buyers are savvy. It's something that just did not happen even 8 years ago, not 7 years ago. We see many Fortune 500 companies now going to the Go Industry Dev Bid Liquidity Services website. And it really is a business. It's a Fortune 500 seller, a Fortune 500 buyer. And the reason they're buying from each other in 2014 is because they do know that these Fortune 500 companies are following correct procedures when it comes to decommissioning an asset. Due to budget restrictions, the implementation of efficient business practices, mainstream adoption, the selling and buying of used pharmaceutical equipment is no longer considered taboo. It's just not. You know, it's commonplace now for Fortune 500 company to end up purchasing an asset from another Fortune 500 company. We see it every day on our website, you know, in today's market. What I like to call it is just a term that I, back in my aero defense days, that we used to use was called just in time. It was a kind of a mid-90s kind of new concept of, hey, just, you know, don't order a whole bunch of circle or don't get a whole bunch of extra parts in your warehouse. Try to create a system where you have it just in time, just before you need it, this replacement part or material. That's kind of what I attribute to the way we sell assets now. When we're selling from one Fortune 500 company to another, they're almost loaning the asset to each other instead of going out there and making this $1 million purchase. They'll buy it, use it for a project for a year. Again, they bought it from the Go Industry Dev website. They'll use it. They'll in turn sell it on the Go Industry Dev site again, and then another Fortune 500 company will buy it. We see that happening more and more every day.
All right. Outstanding. Well, Randy, I hate to say it, but we are about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people learn more about Go Industry Dev Bid Liquidity Services, Inc.?
You know, if you guys, anybody that's really interested, we'd like them to go to www.go-dev.com, and you'll see our assets listed there. Go to our homepage, and you'll see the different verticals that we sell, including the biopharma and biotech industry.
All right. Randy Small, the Vice President of Operations for the Americas and Go Industry Dev Bid Liquidity Services. Randy, it was a pleasure to chat. Thanks for stopping by and joining me.
Thanks for the time, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, that wraps today's show. We'll enjoy seeing you at Interfex in New York City, March 18th through the 20th, and you can catch Life Science Connect Radio broadcasting live from booth 1265. So on behalf of today's guest, Randy Small, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon on Life Science Connect Radio.